We get the hour underway by welcoming into the program Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. Hello there, Chris.
How you doing, Rich? Let me get this straight here, first of all. I'm on the same show with Finn and David Raw?
Yes.
Man, that is good company to be in. I got to bring my A game this afternoon.
You always bring your A game.
I appreciate that, Richard. Too kind. Thank you.
It is a murderer's row of talent today. I'm happy to just be. I'm the bat boy for the group. I appreciate doing that. Well, you wrote about it in the newest edition of The Point After. It was, and I think you hit the term perfectly. It was weird, all of it about yesterday, and yet wonderful at the same time.
First of all, you know, I don't want to ignore the real world, you know, implications of what's going on here, but it was just nice to have football back. It was nice to have real live tackle football going on in our lives. So let's start by acknowledging that. But yeah, it was weird, man. It was, you know, that you can only do so much of the pipe in crowd noise, and, you know, Nance and Romo kind of made it feel a little bit more important than maybe it was. And, you know, there was no Brady, and there was all sorts of oddness there that it's just going to take time to get used to when you're talking about the NFL in 2020. So, you know, you start with that surreal image, and then you kind of go to the idea of a Patriots quarterback rushing for 75 yards, which we haven't seen, you know, since God knows when. So, you know, those two things right out of the gate made it a weird afternoon. But look, I'll say this, the one constant I've been able to take away from the Patriots over the years is that, you know, they're always mentally tough. They're always ready to play. They're all, you know, with maybe one or two exceptions over the last 20 years, as far as I was concerned, they're always ready to play. They're always mentally tough. They're always plugged in. They're always going to bring an alarming level of practicality to the situation. And they did that yesterday. You know, they had minimal penalties. There was one goof, the N'Keal Harry fumble through the end zone. There were a couple of bad pass interference calls. But all in all, I mean, that was about as good as you could have hoped for if you were a Patriots fan yesterday.
And I can't imagine that Cam Newton could have scripted a better debut, running the ball well, getting the two touchdowns, throwing it very well and very efficiently, but also just bringing that joy to the game that adds a whole different dimension.
Yeah, and you know what I loved? And I tweeted about this, but I want to make sure that people know about this, man. The thing that I loved the most about Newton was, you know, not the on-field stuff. You know, that was great, the 75 yards rushing, you know, the impressive accuracy, all that stuff, that was fantastic. The fact that he handed the ball to David Andrews after one of the touchdowns and had Andrews spike the ball. And that's a little thing, but it was a great way for Andrews to kind of punctuate this year in his comeback and, you know, being on the sidelines all last year. For Newton to recognize that and to kind of honor him in that way, I thought that was really cool, and I thought that was really, really savvy on his part to be able to include a guy like Andrews in that celebration, you know, knowing what it meant for him and knowing what that game yesterday meant for him. He's one of those guys for me that, look, this whole thing doesn't work if David Andrews isn't playing. I don't think it's a coincidence last year that they struggled, you know, when it came to running the ball, he was out. So to have him back, it's a good thing. And again, for Newton to recognize his overall importance, both from a practical perspective and maybe from an emotional perspective, that was a very good thing.
Yeah, he can absolutely read the room. Now, what did he do to tick off the Dolphins so much?
Well, it was apparently an argument over his chain. And we've seen this in the NFL a few times over the last few years, mostly involving Aqib Talib. But, you know, there was some frustration, I think, on the part of the Dolphins when you get pushed around all afternoon like they did, and maybe there was some woofing on both sides, and, you know, maybe there was some trash talking, and, you know, it kind of gets out of hand, and, you know, toward the end of the day, you know, people start to do and say things maybe they wouldn't normally do, but I think in the end, cooler heads prevailed, and, you know, we're all better off for it. But yeah, my understanding was it was some argument over Newton's chain that kind of rubbed them the wrong way, and they went after him.
Not a lot of spreading around of the ball in terms of his passing yesterday among his 15 completions, but did we maybe get a little glimpse of a guy that could be a bigger factor going forward in J.J. Taylor?
Yeah, I love J.J. Taylor. I mean, I have a well-known weakness for, you know, third down backs and, you know, Darren Sproles and Kevin Falk and, you know, Deion Lewis, all those guys. J.J. Taylor's fantastic. He's fun to watch. You know, you can't find him. He's 5'6", 180 something, so he's a bit of a mighty mite. But yeah, I would love to get yeah, I would love to see what he could do with his, you know, with the ball in his hands, you know, in space. And, you know, he not only, you know, he also has a nice ability to run between the tackles. So it was a good performance from him. It was a good performance, mostly a good performance from some of the younger guys yesterday, Taylor included.
And I thought maybe the most encouraging thing beyond the play of Newton was the job the offensive line did.
Yeah, and look, you know, I mentioned Andrews before. Having him back is huge. I love Ted Karras, but you know, he's not David Andrews. You have that interior. You know, I still have some reservations about the tackle position, but when you can line those three up, when you can line Shaq Mason, Joe Tooney, and David Andrews up for 16 games, you are going to be able to run the ball against most teams. You're going to be able to physically overpower an awful lot of teams, especially when you have a quarterback that size who's intent on running the ball. I know that he talked today about wanting to kind of be smart and kind of, you know, understanding good situational football, when to run, when to kind of give up the body, that kind of thing. But when you have that offensive line, when you have those three guys, particularly in the middle, I think you're going to be able to do an awful lot of damage in the ground game.
We're talking with Christopher Price of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. Let's look at the defense overall. You got to say 11 points is nice, and they forced some turnovers. The three picks were certainly a positive.
Yeah. I thought, you know, Gilmore's going to do, you know, as a typical Gilmore move, you know, great, smart, savvy interception. But the one that really stuck out to me the most was Adrian Phillips dropping into coverage and kind of, you know, deking Fitzpatrick into the bad throw and him coming away with a pick. I thought that was a great thing. You know, G.C. Jackson's at the end kind of put the game away for him, and that was nice. But the play by Phillips to have that kind of savvy in that situation to be able to drop and, you know, read the quarterback like that and come away with the interception, I thought that was a great thing. Look, this secondary is going to be the strength of this team, you know, across the board, not just on, you know, defensive offense, but this is going to be the best position, the cornerbacks and the safeties. It's going to be the best positional groupings on this team, the best, the deepest, and I think we got a little taste of that yesterday.
Were any questions answered about the front seven, given that there were a lot of new faces there?
You know, I thought one thing that did stick out to me was seeing Winovich move around a little bit. In goal line situations yesterday, I noticed that they kicked him inside, and I thought that was interesting. They also got some good reps from some of the younger guys, including Byron Coward, who started his first game in the National Football League. And so, you know, those were the ones that really stuck out to me. You feel for N'Keal Harry and that goof, you know, there fumbling out of the back of the end zone, because that's such a huge, huge mistake. You know, that's something that they, you know, it's a huge point of emphasis for the Patriots. And so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how he responds, you know, moving forward. But, you know, other than that, he had a good day. It was a very positive day. The one thing I think that, you know, is a strike against them was there was some inconsistency on special teams. You know, you saw Damian Bird bobble that punt
right
very early on. You saw the missed field goal. Those are things that in a close game maybe come back to haunt you a little bit. But, you know, yesterday, you know, it was a nice thing that they didn't. But, you know, those are the kind of things that they need to clean up moving forward. It really, for me, you know, ultimately, I guess, Rich, to answer your question, is that if N'Keal Harry is able to punch that ball in for a touchdown and Nick Folk makes that field goal, this is not a close game at all. You know, when the Dolphins were able to cut it to 14-11, but if the Patriots don't make those two mistakes, they win this thing going away.
Right, and I heard some people talk about, well, geez, they let the Dolphins hang around way too long, should have put them away, and there were those opportunities to do that, but you're right, a miss and a mistake, and it would have been a much different final score and nowhere near as close.
Yeah, look, that's one of the things that you could say. You know, they should have won this game by 20 as opposed to 10, but still, at the same time, it's an early season game. It kind of had, there was that weird feel we talked about at the beginning, and, you know, in some areas it kind of felt a little bit like a preseason game. You know, you'd like to make sure that those things are cleaned up, you know, in December, you know, when you're playing the Chiefs later in the year. They're not going to give you that kind of margin for error. You know, next week against the Seahawks, you're not going to get that margin for error, quite frankly. So, you know, those things need to be cleaned up moving forward. But in the short term, week one, you came away with a 10-point win at home. It's a good thing.
All right, I asked Chad about this earlier. For Patriots fans, what's the proper Tom Brady etiquette? Do you cheer for him to do well in gratitude for everything he did for the Boston and New England fans? Or do you say, he wearing a different uniform now, oh, too bad you lost, Tom?
I think you can have a little bit of both. I think you can acknowledge the fact that he was great for such an extended period of time here in New England. But at the same time, you know what, man? too bad for you. You know, you're on another team, you're 0-1 out of the gate, and, you know, you looked a little ragged yesterday. And look, I'm not going to, you know, use yesterday as a referendum on where Brady is, you know, overall in 2020. I want to see more out of him, but you know, they need to be able to find some sort of happy medium in that offense between what makes Brady comfortable and, you know, what makes the receivers comfortable and what makes, you know, the coaching staff comfortable. So I'm going to be fascinated to see how it all shakes out going forward. I guess if I had to answer your question, yes or no, I would probably say, you know, 51%, you know, happy for him, grateful for him, and then 49% saying, you know what, man, you're on another team, you're dead.
Well, good to get a win to start out, and now it's on the road and a Sunday night game with the bright lights. How do they match up with this Seahawks team?
It's going to be tough. It is. Like I said, you're not going to have the same margin for error, you know, that you had with the Dolphins. I know that every time you go to Seattle, you got to figure in crowd noise, but that's not going to be an issue this time. I think it's going to be fun. I think they got a shot, but I think at the same time, you know, there's a reason that most, you know, lines have the Seahawks between a 4 and a 6 point favorite right now. I think that, you know, New England is still kind of figuring out what it is and what it wants to be now in the post Tom Brady era. Look, if they're going to ground and pound, that's great. They're going to commit to that. They're going to morph from week to week, and they're going to throw the ball, and they're going to take some shots deep. But at the same time, you know, if they're going to be a ground and pound team, I think this is going to be a real challenge for them going out to Seattle, winning against an NFC West team on the road, one of their toughest games of the year. I think they're capable of doing it. I think they're capable of being competitive, but it's going to be a much taller order than it was in the opener against the Dolphins.
What do you think might be a couple points of emphasis for the team in practice this week?
I think you need to be able to execute the same way you did against the Dolphins. That is to say, you need to be able to run the ball consistently, you need to be able to control the clock, and you need to be able to win on first and second down. These are all really simple things, but these all apply to this game going forward. You win on first and second down, you create third and short situations for your offense, and then you can continue to run the ball, you can continue to string out these drives. And then on the other side, you need to play good complementary football. You need to be able to also win on first and second down, and you need to be able to get them into throwing situations, because that's a winnable matchup for you if you're New England. If you come out and you get Russell Wilson consistently in third and long, look, we all know he's great, but I think right now the New England secondary is in a really good spot. Winning on first and second down, that's going to be the key on both sides of the ball. The Patriots are going to be able to convert those third and shorts for that running game, that interior offensive line with Newton and the rest of those running backs. And they want to be able to make Wilson have to throw the ball in third and long situations, going up against guys like Gilmore, Jackson, Phillips, McCourty, the rest of that secondary.
Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. That's why he's batting third today. He's not just a power hitter. He's a guy with on-base percentage, a high batting average. He's the guy that comes through for you in the clutch. As always, Christopher, we thank you.
I love it. Thanks, Rich. Take care. We'll talk soon.
I look forward to it. Chris Price of the Boston Globe, boston.com, here on Downtown. Check out his point after. And get his thoughts on Game 1 and what's ahead for Game 2 for the Patriots.